Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to the 73rd episode of Edu All-Stars. My name is Todd Nesloni, and you can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd.
My name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler. Just want to thank everyone for joining us this evening and listening in. If you guys want to leave a comment about this show or any of the other shows, you can do so on the blog. And we would love if you went to iTunes and left a favorable review of our amazing podcast. No, anyway, leave some kind of review. We love reading that stuff. It's always fun to go out there on iTunes and see that stuff.
And we want to encourage everybody to tweet along as you are listening using the hashtag EduAllStars. We really enjoy seeing the conversation and seeing what the kind of things that stick out to you from our guests that we interview. We are really excited about this week's guest. Emily Swenson is an Explora Lab teacher in Louisiana. She's also the founder of EdCamp Central Louisiana and a member of the Discovery Educator Network. Thank you, Emily, for coming on with us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Emily, the best place that we like to start with our guests is just kind of hearing a little bit about their background and how they got into education.
Well, I grew up in New Mexico, and my mom was a teacher forever when I was little. She was a teacher for about 15 years. And then when I was in third grade, she decided to go to medical school. So she quit teaching and went to medical school. I give that background to say that education's always been there for me. So when she went to medical school, my dad and my sister and I kind of had to pick up the slack and start doing everything. So I kind of started helping around the house more, which gave me more responsibility. I started babysitting. I started doing all, you know, the things kids normally do at that time. I went to college in Louisiana, little tiny college that I didn't expect to go to. And I was a music major. That's what I started as. For the whole first year of college, I was a vocal major, thinking I was going to do music therapy, and that just wasn't what I needed to do. I stayed for that for about a year and then quit and tried all kinds of other things, but it just kept coming back to kids. So I decided to try education, and it just stuck. Took me 5 years to finish college because I used that 1 year on music, but then I just started teaching, and I've always loved it. I say I've always loved it, but you know, I started teaching in pre-K and kindergarten. I teach at a Montessori school, so we have combined grade level classes. So I was teaching a pre-K kindergarten class. I did that about 5 years, and I got really bored.
Really, with pre-K kids?
Yeah. Well, it was the same thing for me over and over. It was. The Montessori was different because I wasn't able to do all the traditional things that I'd been trained to do and you know, all the seasonal things and things that I thought that I really loved to do. And so I just got bored and was looking for other professions, wanted to quit. But then I switched grade levels, not really out of my own accord. My position got eliminated, so I moved up in the same school but just moved up to a different grade. And again, the next 2 years of a multi-grade level class, first and second grade, didn't like it still. Still hadn't found that spot for me. Was thinking of quitting again. I just hated it. I think I was really, I know I was a really mediocre teacher. I mean, it was get through the day, go home, and be done with it and start over the next day. But then I got to move to third grade. And really, at the end of that, I was like, no, move me. I don't want to do this anymore. I just need out. My principal conned me, basically, into going to third grade. She said, please just go. You've never taught one grade level. So I did. And third grade changed my life.
Awesome.
It was something that I had never taught before, and I loved it. So I've been stuck here ever since and loving every minute of it.
Awesome. So now you're doing like an Explora Lab in your classroom. Is that the only thing you focus on, or you have like a class and you do this on the side, like a couple periods a day, or what's that look like?
That's a good question. I'm still trying to figure out what that looks like in the classroom, but I actually moved out of the traditional classroom. I'm an exploratory teacher, which means I teach everybody, every grade from pre-K through sixth grade at my school. Okay. They come to me one time a week for about 45 minutes. And the idea behind the whole thing, my principal came to me last year and said, hey, I have an idea. You create it. I just want you to do something science-y, maybe with all the stuff you've been learning, you know. I went to space camp with Chrissy Van Osdale, and that kind of turned me on to science a little bit more than I was. So she said, just run with that, which left it really open. But they come to me once a week, and I try to, I don't know, it's really fun. I just get to do the things I really love to do, find really cool ideas, and jump in and try them.
So is it mainly science focus? I mean, are you also going into, like, engineering and, like, all the kind of, like, the maker spaces and, like, the, you know,
kind of all of it. I was supposed to be science focused, and I'm still science focused, but she gave me free rein to do whatever, and I got introduced to the book Invent to Learn this summer. Thanks, Todd. I read it, did the book study with it, and it kind of readjusted where I thought my focus was going to be. So it's not exactly a makerspace yet, but that's my goal, is to maybe get it that way. I'm still trying to adjust to having all of the grades pretty much all day. I mean, I start with a pre-K class, and then I move, and I have all grade levels every day. So the transition is interesting. It's hard for me to figure out what I can do from one to the next and still clean up and move on. But that's my goal, to do engineering.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, like, I have a hard enough time just with my, like, on-level classes and then, like, the above-level classes within the same grade. I can't even imagine, like, you know, a 4-year-old and a, you know, a 10-year-old or 12-year-old or whatever.
It's been crazy. I started with really big ideas. I mean, you know, I went to ISTE this summer and got all of these really amazing Maker Ed ideas and Genius Hour and all these things that I was like, oh, man, this is so cool. I could try this. And real life kind of came around, and I was even blogging about it, and that kind of stopped when school started because I just have to wrap my mind around what exactly I'm doing every day. I'm having a lot of fun with it, and the kids are too. We did the cardboard challenge in September, or October, really, but we've been working on it all year. That was my first attempt, and I decided to jump in, and I did everybody, 3rd through 6th grade.
Talk a little bit about what that is for those people that don't know what it is.
The Cardboard Challenge is an engineering design challenge through the Imagination Foundation, and it started with the Kane's Arcade video, where a 9-year-old boy from East LA created an arcade out of cardboard in his father's garage. So they've snowballed that since then, and it's become this global project where kids get to create anything they want out of cardboard. And some people take it and do a certain theme. Of course, I decide to jump in and say, hey, make whatever you want. Let's just, no theme, just pick anything. And, you know, my teachers all looked at me like I had lost my mind. My principal didn't really quite grasp what I had told her we were going to do until we got in the middle, and her auditorium was full of cardboard. And she's not big on huge messes, so it was kind of stressing her out. And it was like 8 weeks of this cardboard explosion. To not be gross about it, I just kept thinking that it vomited cardboard everywhere. But when they finally started getting their ideas together and putting them into a form, it was amazing. It was really cool to see what they came up with. We had copy machines. We had a test your own strength game that the boys were super excited about because they could trick people, because it was run by their own pulley that they created with it. So they could decide whether somebody was strong or weak, or, you know, a girly girl, or, you know, whatever. They had this whole plan. It really ended up quite amazing. I don't think that I'll just let them all just choose whatever next time. We might organize it a little bit more. But it turned out really amazing, and the community and our parents got behind it a lot.
Cool.
So what's one of the – is that the favorite thing you've done so far, or what's one of the things that you've really, really enjoyed, your favorite activity that you've done in the Explorer Lab this year?
Oh, that has to be it, hands down. The cardboard challenge was a challenge for me, for my brain, for them, and for their brain, and that is a lot of fun for me, to see them have to struggle through things. And it was a struggle. Some kids even had to throw out their projects. But the lessons that came from them looking at their project and them saying, okay, this isn't going to be ready. We have to scrap it. Or, you know, we've tried it. We've done this. We've done that. And it's just not going to work. Miss Winston, let's just get rid of it. was cool. I mean, it was good for to see that they got to the point where they said, no, this really isn't going to work. And we've tried it. And failure is a big thing I talk to them a lot about. It's been a big thing for me. I feel like I was failing a lot at teaching before I made it my passion, before it became my passion. And it never would have become my passion had I not continued to fail, but then kept coming back for it again and again. So
talk a little bit about your journey on social media. I know Todd had mentioned that he met you at an ed camp and then at like ISTE before we got on the show. Like, just talk a little bit about like when you decided that social media was cool enough to venture onto and those kinds of things.
Wow. Okay. Well, I've been on Facebook, you know, like all of us grown-ups. I did not get on it in college. It was not really a thing when I was in college. So Facebook was fun. It was a way to reconnect with people, but I never used it for anything but that. The Twitter thing, I joined Twitter, I think, at some point because I thought, wow, everybody else is doing it. Let's join. And I didn't understand it. I was like, okay, this is dumb. I can't figure out how this works. And so I put it aside and even forgot my username and my login, you know. I don't remember what started my education connection in Twitter. I really don't remember what caused me to get on there and look, but I started using Twitter for reading articles and lurking, I guess, like we all do at first, finding people to follow. Then found this thing called EdCamp, and that kind of sparked my interest. I had never been to one. I was looking around Louisiana going, surely there's one around here because there's one everywhere else in the world. And, of course, there wasn't. There was one that happened like 3 years before that, but it never happened again. So I wandered over to Houston by myself. Really, I dragged my friend with me, but my husband thought I was crazy for going to this weird ed camp thing. I didn't even know it was going to be. So I went to Houston for an ed camp and realized really what Twitter could do. I did meet Todd there and his mom. My friend, because she met him first. And later I found out, somebody said, you know Tech Ninja Todd? I was like, who is that? And they said, oh, that guy you were talking to. I was like, oh, well, I mean, I guess so. That's Tech Ninja Todd. Had no idea who he was or who the three Tech Ninjas were or anything like that. Stacy was there too, I think, and I had no idea. But that started it, because after that, I figured out, you know, who the Tech Ninja Todd was. And but it did. It changed it. I started not lurking. I started sharing and connecting with people and not keeping it to myself anymore. So that really changed it for me.
So how did that lead then into you starting your own ed camp?
There wasn't one here. Texas has all the good ed camps. And, you know, Texas just can't have everything. So I kept saying, somebody needs to have one. Somebody needs to have one. There's got to be one here. I contacted the girl in New Orleans who had organized the other one and asked her if they were going to do it again. And she said, well, no. I mean, we want to, but it just never really happened. So I finally just looked at my friend and said, just screw it. Let's just do it. Let's just jump in and do it ourselves. So that's what led to that. I just was tired of waiting for people to do it.
Cool. And that was, have you just done one so far then? Or
we have. We did it last spring. And so our plan is to do it again this spring.
Cool.
It went over better than I thought it did. Our district was at the time last year a Twitter desert, basically. There was nobody but, like, me and the 12 people I dragged to Ed Camp Austin. I've now been to, like, 10 Ed Camps. Let's just say I'm a little bit of an addict. But Austin, I finally dragged about 12 of my coworkers with me, along with my assistant principal, just because we had already planned ours. And I said, look, you don't even understand how it works, so you've got to go to one. They got on Twitter because I forced them to before Ed Camp. And it's kind of, I'm still the only Twitter addict, I think, but everybody else has discovered the power of it, which is awesome. So even our assistant superintendent now is on Twitter and is getting more involved, which I've pestered him and pestered him until he finally got on it. But this year, I think when we have it, it'll be more effective because more will be involved and it'll be awesome.
Do you have a date picked out yet?
Nope.
We're putting one together for the spring too, and we don't have a date either. So we'll need to coordinate so we don't do the same weekend.
Yes, please. Yes, we need to do that. But that's our plan, is the spring. You know, we said we weren't going to do it again in the spring because baseball got in the way. Mm-hmm. Everybody in their ball games and stuff. But whatever. I don't play ball, so we're going to do it in the spring.
Cool. What about, let's jump back into the classroom for a minute. Like, how do you motivate children in your class that are unmotivated?
Another thing that changed my teaching career was Dave Burgess's book, Teach Like a Pirate. Reading that book before I went to, I read it after Ed Camp Houston, and it totally rocked my teaching philosophy. So I really think that I keep them motivated and wanting to come back by doing the cool stuff. And I say, they all think I'm a science genius. They tell their parents that, you know, Ms. Swenson knows everything about science. I know zero, you know, about science. I just know how to get them to get excited about it. So I do off-the-wall things. You know, I pull in real worms, or I throw cardboard at them and tell them to make whatever they want. Mm-hmm. We've done really cool lava experiments. I'm pulling ideas from all kinds of places, but the wow factor and the gross factor is fun for me. I like to do that kind of stuff. And then pulling it back to the concept is, you know, we get there eventually.
Yeah, I always say that our science teachers, we have it a little bit easier than maybe some of the other content areas as far as, like, engaging lessons. I think they're easier to find out there and make them engaging.
You know, I can do a lesson on ghost poop, which would be starch packing peanuts, and I eat it in the middle of class, and they think that I'm the most disgusting person ever. So they're all fully aware that this is not actually ghost poop, but I'm willing to lick it and eat it, and they just... My sixth graders were like, oh my gosh, they think it's awesome. So
that's great.
Be a dork. It'll be fun.
Emily, what is either a book or a blog that you are really enjoying reading right now? It doesn't even have to be an education book. It can be, we've had people talk about these teen novels that they're into or other things.
Oh, that's a good question that I wish I had thought about more.
I know you mentioned Invent to Learn.
I did. Invent to Learn was really awesome. It changed a lot of things. I have to go back to Dave's book, Teach Like a Pirate. I've recommended it to every teacher that I know of, and I taught an adjunct college class, and every one of those student teachers, I was like, read this book, because it just challenges you in a practical way to be different.
Right.
Not to be that same old boring teacher. Like, you don't have to do it the same way all the time. Change it up, because they need you to be different in order for them to want to be different and to try new things and be brave. They have to see you do that too. So that's the book that I think really would encourage people to be brave in their teaching.
Thinking back over the last, like, maybe couple of years, what's something like you're the most proud of accomplishing?
A couple of things. I think last year for me, I taught third grade for the last 3 years and loved every minute of it. And we were self-contained for the first couple years, but last year we switched to departmentalized with a partner teacher. And it was like a perfect partnership. It worked out beautifully. I got to try all kinds of new things. I tried learning menus. I flipped my classroom last year, which was awesome. I think I'm most proud of trying all of the new things that I've tried and not being afraid of it crashing and burning, because, you know, it has. And I'm really proud of the way I've become more honest with my students about that. You know, like, hey, we're going to try this flip thing. We're going to try for a couple of weeks, and if it just flops, then we're going to chunk it out and do something else. So that I think that is what I'm most proud of, becoming more brave with what I'm doing.
So when you're having one of those really difficult, really rough days, what is something that you do to recenter yourself?
If it's a really rough day, I have a few coworkers that we are our own PLC. We have PLC grade level, you know, grade level PLCs at school, but I have a core group of teachers at school that we didn't have each other before, but we've kind of created our own little positivity corner, you know, when we're having a really negative day or something really bad is happening, we get together and just share positive stuff or change that outlook. Talking to people who are positive is the biggest thing for me. Getting on Twitter and being around the people who have now become my teaching family, I have to say, you know, using things like Voxer to connect with people who are passionate about what they do helps me recenter.
Yeah, I'm a huge Voxer fan. I got on the bandwagon late with Voxer, but man, I'm on it now, and I love it. I absolutely love it. We do a little mastermind group with some people, with some educators I talk to, and it's just awesome. I absolutely love it. What about what are some of the biggest challenges right now in your job, or maybe in education in general?
Oh gosh, well, in my job, I think I already touched on that some. It's trying to figure out how to manage 6 different grade levels and stay interesting. I like to stay interesting, but it's hard to, I don't know, it's hard to stay that creative. I guess that's a weird thing. I don't want to really say it's hard to stay creative, but, you know, I don't want to run out of ideas, and I don't want to do the same thing twice. So having to think outside the box way more than I did before is a challenge. In education, gosh, there's all kinds of challenges all the time, but our district right now is really struggling with communication with parents, getting them to understand what we're doing in the classroom as far as Common Core and, you know, different curriculums that we're putting into place, seeing the benefits and the drawbacks to either good parent communication or poor parent communication, depending on the case. So that, I think that's the biggest challenge right now for our district.
Well, Emily, if you could go back to yourself as a first-year teacher, what advice would you give yourself?
Probably the same advice I'm giving this teacher that's starting tomorrow. Get on Twitter. Get on Twitter and keep learning. Like, don't ever just think that you knew everything when you came out of college. You didn't learn half the stuff you needed to know to be a teacher. You know, it was a good start, maybe. Maybe, it depends. But you're never going to know enough, and you're never going to have all the ideas, and you're not the only one with the ideas if you have them. So find someone who also has good ideas and share with each other. Someone on Twitter, and I can't remember who it was, said one time, share relentlessly, and I love that. That just encompasses the whole thing. Share relentlessly, because it doesn't matter. We can't do it without sharing.
What last thing we usually like to end our conversations with is just something you're like super passionate about right now.
Super passionate about. Besides teaching?
Sure, it could be besides teaching. Absolutely.
Teaching, I'm definitely really passionate about. My husband, I made him wear earphones over there so he wouldn't have to hear me, but he gets really annoyed with me talking about teaching all the time. Gosh, passionate. You know, I'm really passionate about my church and my church family and being around them and getting my kids around them. And I'm really passionate about my kids. Being around my kids and getting them to try new things and be brave about stuff is the other thing that we're trying to do a lot in our family. So
awesome.
It just reminded me of, you know, when you said your husband's sitting over there, we had this conversation. We were all at a Halloween party, and, like, most of us, at, like even as couples, are all teachers, and then like some of the husbands that maybe they're in a different industry or whatever, and they're like, when we get talking about teaching, they're like, oh God, here it comes again. You know, it's like, if you're not married to another teacher, like they just have no, you know, a concept of understanding of what a teacher actually goes through, and then that, you know, you have to come home and unleash some of that stuff sometimes. They're like, really, like, shut up.
Like, I don't need to hear that again. Which made me think of, we started doing, speaking of passions, my husband works, and for lack of a better term, he works with computers. He's a computer nerd. That's not how he would explain it, but that's what he does. But we've been taking computers apart in Explorer Lab with some of the classes, and I know nothing about the inside of a computer. Literally all the education I had about the inside of a computer came from a Magic School Bus episode that we watched. And I'm really ashamed to say that, and he rolls his eyes every time I tell him. But actually our passions have been colliding lately because I've enjoyed a really long conversation picking apart his brain to figure out, okay, what does this little thing do? Why is this in the computer? I need to know about this. And so there you go. That's something I'm passionate about. I want to learn about the inside of a computer and cool. why it works. And what does this little tiny square do? And he can tell me, but he just looks at me like I'm crazy when I ask him really literal questions about it that don't make sense to him.
Yeah, but that's cool. If you can get one of those cracked open in your class and get, you know, most kids have never seen the inside of a computer. Then
they haven't, and they think it's awesome. I did too. Yeah. I was like, look, this whole thing runs the computer. So
yeah. Well, thanks so much for spending a Sunday night with us. How can listeners connect with you?
On Twitter, I'm at M Swenson. M, not M, I'm E-M, just to clarify. And on Twitter, that's awesome. That's where I get in there. I'm a Voxer, too. I guess I could say that. Anybody could Vox me. Sure.
Yeah, I would be careful about giving that one out. You may have, like, a bunch of random people Voxing you. Yeah, so Twitter. What about blog? You have a blog out there?
Or? I do have a blog. I haven't written on it since, like, August, but I plan to. So the Fab Explorer Lab, blogspot.com is the blog.
Awesome. And you guys can connect with us, too, at EduAllStarsHQ on Twitter using the hashtag EduAllStars. Our website is EduAllStars.com, and then you can also search out all the past episodes. We've got up to, like, 72 now, using EduAllStars with no spaces on iTunes.
And we join us for our next episode as we interview Josh Stumpenhorst. And thank you so much again, Emily, for coming on with us tonight. We really appreciate you giving us some of your time. It was great chatting with you.
Thank you for having me.